I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
1-2. He loops that to left field. Going to be a tough play. Jeter on the run. Makes the play. Wow. And flies into the stands. Oh, what a play by Derek Jeter.
Wow. Jeter really banged himself up. Wow.
I think he caught the, you could see the redness in his face. He caught the power of that box. What a play.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Football, you have to breathe on people. You have to tackle people. You spit on people. Guys have cuts. Guys cough out there. You can't tell me if I have two or three kids at home or an elderly parent that lives with me that I'm going to be comfortable going out there practicing entire week, not knowing what the young guys, not knowing what the old guys are going to do after practice. I'm not going to feel comfortable coming home to my family. I don't know how we're going to have the season, bottom line, Mike. I don't know how they're going to do it.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
We feel an obligation to our sport and to the industry to find our new normal. As I said, we almost see it as our duty to find a way that we can still provide the sport of basketball to our fans and to this and to the broader community.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 12:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague and Eater Johnson in with you on this beautiful, happy hump day.
What is happening? Happy hump day. It's also like a Thursday.
Yes, it is. It's a Wednesday, Thursday.
Look at us, man. Only one more day in the work week. Just flying on by. It's already July. What the hell happened? How did we get here?
Well, you know, there's one of two ways. It's already July or we're only halfway through 2020, which has been a nightmare for a lot of people.
That's true. It's very mixed emotions. It feels like the last 6 months have taken forever and they've also flown by at light speed. Like, what the hell, man? We're halfway done with the year.
Yeah, I'll say that 2020 is half glass empty, and I think that's a good thing.
I have enjoyed the memes of the like Sunday Night Football halftime broadcast, and it says 2020-42.
Oh, did you not?
Zero.
That was a video. Did you watch it?
Oh, did somebody put the video? I saw the clips of it, but I didn't listen to it.
You know the bro that does the Nick Saban pressers?
Yes.
The white guy with red hair?
Right, right.
He's a sideline reporter. They show that score, the score graphic. And they go to him as if it's halftime now. And he goes, well, coming up. And he basically just says, Murder Hornets are out. They are not to return.
We don't have to worry about those now.
And he just does one of those. And then he actually kicks it to Collinsworth. And Collinsworth is in the video.
Like an actual Collinsworth?
Yeah,
like him
talking
about us being down 42 to nothing?
And he's like, and it's an election year, which makes it even worse.
We all got that to look forward to.
And then he kicks it to Al. But then the camera just pans over and it's a picture of Al Michaels smiling. It was a pretty good video.
Dude, that's phenomenal. Yeah, I never clicked to the start of the video. I just saw the beginning of it and it said 42 to nothing at the half. And it gave me a good chuckle because at least we're only down 42 nothing. We can make that comeback.
I have a life question for you.
Fire away.
This one's been bothering me since last night.
Okay.
So I'm walking my dog and I, you know, occasionally glance at what my neighbors are doing and what the yards look like. Mm-hmm. Well, there's this house in the corner of our neighborhood. It's kind of a cluster of them, but they're right next to each other. I mean, the driveways are as close as you and I, 2-3 feet.
Okay.
I walk by, I see a RAV4, brand new Prius hybrid type RAV4. Well, that's nice. It's got a cool, unique grayish color. So I walk by, come back this morning. Guess what's next to that brand new RAV4?
We got another new car there?
The exact same car with the exact same color.
I got a lot of questions.
Yeah, I do too. Do neighbors do this? Do they buy the car of their neighbor
so
in the
same...
So these
are two different lots, yeah.
These are two different houses. Now, I live...
That's awkward. Yeah,
my neighborhood's mixed with connected homes and then homes that are separated. This is a connected townhome situation.
Okay.
And right next to each other.
That is incredibly weird. And I feel like if I pulled something like that off where you go just like the happenstance of buying a new car and you show up at the house and you realize your neighbor bought literally the same car, same color, same model, same everything, I'd be somewhat tempted to trade it in and change out my color.
So what if I showed up to work with the exact model and color of your truck?
I'd be a little upset's not the right word, but I would.
You can't be upset.
No,
Upset's
not the right word. But yeah. I would question why. What were you thinking? There's a million different colors that you could get. There's different models that you could get to get the same. It's okay to buy the same truck or the same car in this case. I have no problem with that. But when you're going to show up with the same exact color. Yeah, we might have some issues there.
There's a term for this that I remember from high school. It's biting. You're biting my style.
Oh, biting. Yeah. I remember the term biting.
You go with the light gray. You go with the white. You can get a black. You can get a tan. You can get a blue. Like, there's a bunch of different colors that you can get.
Look, I'm a pretty big fan of all new cars. The wife is pretty – she's leaning in on the RAV4. If we get a new car, we've largely keep cars forever because we don't care that much.
You just keep going until they run out of gas.
But she's seen this car, and she says, oh, it looks like a really nice car, and we might end up getting a RAV4. Here's my thought process. Not only is it awkward that they got the same color. I mean, it's the same color. There's no difference. They look like twins parked right next to each other.
Yeah, you can't park them on the street. You're going to forget which one's yours until you get your license plate in there.
Even if I got a different color, I would think you would think it's super weird if I get the exact same Toyota Tacoma.
Yes.
Right? Like, even if I rolled in tinted windows, white. Aren't you looking at that going, we have the same truck? And look, the thing that sucks about this is these are good cars. Toyota RAV4 looks like a great car.
It's a great car, man.
The Tacoma looks like a beast. Yeah. I've always wanted a Toyota Tacoma. I had one that was a long bed, the short version, not the four-door, the two-door.
Right.
Like a 92. Loved it. Stick shift. But I'd feel weird if I got one now because you own one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm okay. The model thing wouldn't bother me that much. It honestly wouldn't. I would make fun of you probably for a week. Like, I think that's my right as the first person that bought it to give you a hard time about buying the same exact car or truck that I own. But after a week went by, I think we would just bond as Tacoma Bros.
Yeah, probably.
Right? Like, it'd be like, hey, we're Tacoma Bros. We'd have a cool handshake, do a fun club and activities after the show, that kind of thing.
You adding spoiler to your Tacoma?
Yeah, what are you buying, man? You're going to put a little lift on your thing? What are you going to do with your Tacoma? But when you go same color, that's out the window. Like, I had this a little bit with it was like super random happenstance with the fiance's family. So her parents' truck, they had an old truck that broke down. So they couldn't ride it around anymore, so they needed a new truck. So they went and bought a used Toyota Tacoma. We happened to get in an accident the very next week and totaled our car, and I've always wanted a Toyota Tacoma. So after we totaled the car, went and got a Tacoma. So there was two in the family. And then her cousin, like 2 weeks later, got in a car accident as well
and
went and got a Toyota Tacoma. Now, the one thing we got going for us, all three different colors. One's white, mine's dark gray, the other one's light gray.
Same model?
Similarities.
Yeah.
I mean, it's slightly different years. Maybe I think the one is like a 2018. Mine was a 19. I can't remember what the other one was. But there's three different Toyota Tacomas now in the family, but they're all different colors. And nobody ever gave each other a bad time about buying it.
It's a pretty common truck.
Very common truck.
Of the mid-sized truck, wouldn't you say it's probably the most popular?
Yeah, I would.
That
probably.
Or the...
I don't know a ton about trucks, but
I was going to say...
Like the F-150.
I was going to say, does the F-150 count as a mid-size or a heavy...
I'd say so. The F-350s are the heavy duties. I was going to say, you guys could link up and take some badass pictures for Instagram with all your Tacomas lined up next to each other.
Like, kneel down in front on one knee. That would be so sweet. Put some fake spree rolls on it while they're spinning.
Oh, I honestly was kicking around the idea of getting a Tacoma, and then Dirk got one after his accident. I remember when I saw it in the parking lot, my thought was, well, guess I'm getting a Chevy Colorado.
I kind of view that. You're getting a Chevy Colorado.
I'm going to go with the copy version of Chevy's.
Now, let me ask you this. Where does that line fall on baby names?
I think it's very similar.
Very similar?
Yeah, we were going to name my oldest, we were going to name her Mia. We really liked the name Mia. We thought it was cute. The wife got in touch with an old high school friend, and she came over with her kid. This was years and years ago. And the kid walks in, the kid's probably like one or two.
Yeah.
Kid's name is Mia. That lady leaves. We haven't seen her since, by the way.
And see,
the
wife, that's why it's so funny.
And the wife goes, well, Mia's out. And I said, I know, that sucks.
You haven't seen her since. I mean, that's like almost a decade ago.
But you don't, this is what, because so she's still friends with her on Facebook.
Sure.
The last thing you want, though, right? After hanging out 2 months before your kid's born, the kid's born and 2 months later on Facebook, meet our new daughter, Mia. Isn't that person going, well, you're welcome. I gave you that name.
Yeah, probably.
We liked that name months before I knew this person existed.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of that, but you already had the name in your head, so you know the true story behind it, right? So one person on Facebook's going to think that you stole it from them.
Well, I was stealing it from Mia Hamm more than I was sure. This lady.
And that's why, the truck, like, if you went and bought a Toyota Tacoma, again, I'd make fun of you for a week, and then we'd be totally fine. It's just the color and the exact same model thing is what would be a little weird.
But
if
see,
we had two of them in the parking lot every single day.
The same thing, even if it's not color, to me, the same thing kind of is weird. The day you and I came in with sleeveless shirts, I don't even know what the odds of that are.
Yeah, but it's the only day, I think, in the history of this radio show that we've ever worn sleeveless shirts, and we happened to do it on the same day.
The exact same day.
And everybody gave us a hard time about it.
And I'm listening to Primetime on the way home, and they're doing the right thing. They're making the observation that, can you believe both these bros came in with sleeveless shirts? And I get it. But I felt really dumb that day. Yeah. I couldn't believe we both had sleeveless shirts going.
We need to do that more often.
Yeah.
All summer long, baby.
That's the new protocol. Let's wear whatever you want to work.
No sleeves.
All right. Well, we got a good show today. Let's find out what's on tap.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on tap brought to you in the Fam by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. We might have a ticker guess, we might not. It's a scheduling situation.
No big deal.
If we do, we're going to go to Tucson.
We got a lot to get to today anyways.
We do. Arizona football is, God, I don't know what's going on there. The practicing, now they're not practicing.
Yep, and we finally had an Arizona football player speak up that you're wondering when it was going to happen, and it has now happened.
Yeah, because somebody was talking about University of Arizona yesterday, and it was something to the effect of, well, we can't have all these people together, and the football player basically was like, then why am I still here?
Yeah, they're questioning if the students are going to be able to come back, and that was his response.
We'll talk about this. How do you feel about this starting lineup? Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Carmelo Anthony, Zach Collins, Hassan Whiteside.
Oh, non-Nurkic starter?
I don't know if they want to start him. According to Damian Lillard, he did a phone interview today with the local media, to which we were not a part of, but we've been seeing things on Twitter. And that's the lineup he said he expects, but he does expect Nurkic to play.
Yeah.
It's just I think they're just going to take it super easy on his return.
Yeah, he's interesting too because he's now been ready and running for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's the weird part is he's coming back from an injury because we haven't seen him in over a year, but he's been healthy now and cleared for over 3 months.
So we'll get into that. We got a return of Beavis and Butthead, but I'm nervous it's going to turn into a PC version.
Okay.
Although, I don't know, maybe that's the way they need to go.
As long as they find a Titleist golf ball, I'm cool with it.
We've got radio hosts in Boston who got their panties in a bunch because Cam Newton does the dab or Superman celebration. And we'll allow the Patriots head coach Bill Belichick to completely contradict their hot takes. So we'll get to that today. Let's see, what else do we got? Oh, I got a question for you. Is this the hardest NBA title that's ever going to be won? Mm. This is starting to kind of pop up now from certain players that if you can win this title, it's going to be the most accomplished championship ever, given the circumstance, how much it's going to cost to operate the NBA while they're in the bubble. Let's see. What else do we got? Crunch time. We got Statter Story to get to. What the headline today is not really going to be what it has been. That segment feels like it's failing, and probably because I am 0-3 now.
Yeah, we gave it a couple of weeks there.
But we'll kind of keep it, and we'll bring it to you at 1:15 today in a different manner. So that's what's on tap today. Flying snakes as well. We have a lot to get to. We will start. Let's start with the big Blazer news.
Let's do it.
Kevin Colabro is out as the play-by-play man after four seasons. Who would you want to replace? Are we going outside? Do we want Mike Barrett back? We'll start there with some Blazer stuff. Dirt and Sprague with you on 1080 The Fan.
Me, I'm super fly, super duper fly, super duper fly.
Me, I'm super fly. Sprague, gone 1080, The Fan.
We might also get into Utah. Remember their defensive coordinator, Morgan Scaly, it was reported that he used a racial slur. Well, they've responded to that, and they've punished him, just not in the way you may believe.
Yeah.
So we'll try to get to that today as well. Let's start with the big news. The Blazers released a press release that said after four seasons, Kevin Colabro and the team have parted ways. He is no longer going to be the play-by-play man alongside Lamar Hurd. No real reason given. I think there's speculation until Colabro, if he does give a quote about why he left, or maybe the team does. The only thing I would say, my best guess, this is a shot in the dark, no information, no sourcing. I know he's such a big Seattle guy that he lives in Seattle. So when he comes down here to call games, he actually just stays right up here on the waterfront. I'd imagine over time that kind of weighs on you when your main residence is 2.5 to 3 hours away, but you're here as often as you are. So that could be maybe one of the reasons. Maybe there's something else that we don't know yet that's behind the scenes. But 4 years, Kevin Colabro was the play-by-play man replacing Mike Barrett and Mike Rice. And now he is out for the Portland Trail Blazers.
Yeah, it sounds like Jordan Kent's going to be calling the games, the eight that they're going to do in Orlando. They're none of the
broadcast. That's a tryout, by the way.
Probably.
That's absolutely a tryout.
And none of the broadcasting teams are going to be there, so it's going to be kind of a unique circumstance. We've known that all along. They're going to be broadcasting from back here in Portland. This, I didn't expect this, I guess, first off. I think it caught a lot of people off guard, very similar to the last time they made a broadcasting change when I remember we were on the air and that news broke and it kind of took over the show. And we were all wondering what they had in the wait and who the next guy was going to be. And then they announced Kevin Colabro, and he was a big-time announcer from ESPN. He's well-known across the NBA. So it kind of made sense of why they wanted to go that route. I think it just shocked a lot of people. The tough part with this, I think, is it takes a long time. And we know this from our radio career. I think this is true in any broadcasting form. It just takes a long time for people to welcome you in and kind of accept you as a part of their team or their fan base or their daily routine.
We still deal with that from time to time.
We absolutely do. And I think Colabro and Lamar Hurd were kind of still dealing with that. Not to, of course, the levels they were 4 years ago, but they were starting to become normal. It was starting to become the broadcasting team. When you do it for four straight seasons and you have the best season that the team's had, you know, in the last two decades of getting to the Western Conference Finals last year, I think that goes a long way in kind of growing your relationship with the fan base. So now you're going to have to hit a bit of a reset button, and we don't know what's going to happen with Lamar Hurd. I hope they don't make a change there because I think he's improved a ton over the last 4 years and is a great color analyst, but it's just tough. You want to have consistency and long-term broadcasters for your team and for your fan base. And for an organization that really had that on the radio and TV side since the founding, all the way back in the 1970s, it feels like it's been a small number of people to have to change again after 4 years. It's tough for the fans to go through, and you hope they make a good hire.
I think the immediate reaction from everybody on social media was, all right, bring Mike Barrett back.
Yeah, that's what everybody was tweeting.
And like, I have no relationship with Mike Barrett. I've met him like two times, literally no relationship at all. He may have been on our show once, but I don't know. I would totally understand it. I'm not convinced like so many others that he is even interested. He's made it abundantly clear when he's done interviews with Isaac and Souk, that he kind of prefers being around the family. He's got kids. He's super involved and super heavy in on the Portland Diamond Project. I don't know. He'd have to address that himself. But my first thought was, I don't even think he's interested anymore. Maybe he is. Maybe it's enticing. Those jobs, as you mentioned, it's not only the Blazers. There's been a lot of teams that have had more broadcasters than Portland over their franchise history. But these jobs do not open.
No.
I mean, you largely get these gigs. And no. If you get it, do whatever you can to hold on to it. Because if you can, you're talking 30 to 40 to maybe even 50 years of your life with a great paycheck, and you're tied to a franchise. It's mm-hmm. a stable job.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he would be enticed in that regard, but the feeling that I've got from listening to him talk about that is maybe his heart isn't even in broadcasting anymore. Right. It's more in the backdrop of Portland Diamond Project. Let me do interviews to talk about that, help bring a baseball team to Portland and be involved with that franchise.
It's also a weird circumstance too, because they let him go. That's kind of
they did.
I mean, put yourself in his shoes of a team letting you go after a long run as a broadcaster, and then 4 years later saying, hey, you want to come back? That's kind of an awkward situation.
Well, and you also wonder too, do you avoid going the national route the way you did with Calabro? It was obviously great. I loved their broadcast. I thought he was fantastic. But there is an element to getting the national guy where he doesn't live in Portland. He's not as familiar with Portland. He lives in Seattle. He goes to all these other places.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you go down that avenue. I think Portland is such a hyper-local market for basketball. Yeah. You kind of want to get a Northwest native or somebody that understands Trailblazer basketball already.
Yeah, you want to have that knowledge. I think that's important. And I think there was some frustrations with that with Calabro early on of him never feeling like a true Portlander. You know, he came from Seattle.
One thing that always bothered me was when he still did this to his last day, was, welcome to Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, he always dropped Oregon like it was a national broadcast.
Yeah, you're not doing the national broadcast. We know you're in Oregon.
This isn't ESPN radio.
That was my only nitpick with him.
You're broadcasting in Portland. We know what state we're in. So I think that's vitally important. You know, I've seen some people bring up Wheels. I don't know how much, you know, you got to go back to his older days as a TV guy on that side. And that was a different parting of ways, I think, than what Mike Barrett had. That was more of a health reasons. Let's let you get healthy. And they've moved on the radio side, obviously. But he is somebody that seems like he's doing healthier. We had him on the show a while back,
yeah.
And seems like he's doing good, looking for another crack in broadcasting. So maybe that's the route you want to go. And there's a familiarity with the fan base that I think would help make that transition really easy on his part. But it's just unique. And you mentioned him not really giving a reason. He just kind of released a statement and said, you know, we thank Portland for welcoming me and my family, and it's been a great run for 4 years. Felt like we became a part of the city, but it doesn't sound like health related unless there's something we don't know about. It wasn't a part of the team layoffs, because remember, they just had to lay off some folks last week.
Yeah,
the news came out, so it wasn't a part of either of those. So I will be curious if he ever ends up giving a sit down interview of why he decided to make this move. Because as you mentioned, these are pretty sought after jobs in the broadcasting world to become the voice of a team. And there's only a handful of them across, obviously, all of the NBA. When you get one, it feels like these guys try and hang on to them as long as they can. And there's not necessarily that immediate pivot back to a national broadcasting angle, too, because we don't know what the landscape of national sports are going to look like, what ESPN's going to be doing. Like, we're just kind of in this weird flux period. So it's not like it's an immediate pivot back to ESPN. So it was a bit of a strange headline.
Well, it's for as long as he's been in the industry, I'd also say, highly doubt he's hurting financially.
Sure, he's probably doing well off.
He's probably in a pretty good spot, which is okay to admit. Somebody texts in at the fan text line that Yahoo cites that it's family.
Family related, okay.
But again, that's the point. Is he's based in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of, I always wondered about that. Like, you're not commuting daily, so you're going to live here for 4 or 5 months of the year, and then you live in Seattle the other remaining months.
Yeah, if you're going to do that, you would just think move everybody to Portland and make this your hometown so you don't have to deal with that.
And you just never know how committed people want to be. He was in Seattle for so long, right, that you fall in love with places that kind of suit who you are. So Kevin Calabro, if you're just tuning in, is out as the play-by-play man of the Portland Trailblazers. I tweeted this, and I wholeheartedly I believe this. If there is any idea about replacing Lamar Hurd, stop it right now. It's stupid. That would be a disaster. His first year, I thought he learned a lot. You could tell he was a guy that went from doing super regional Pac-12 right, basketball stuff.
Right, much smaller scale.
Yeah, to a huge jump. And that's okay. Like, to have some hiccups or to kind of have to find your rhythm and your group. I thought he was good year one, but mm-hmm. I think the last couple years you've seen him take an even better jump. And I think it's only going to get better over time. So the color analyst role is filled as far as I'm concerned. I hope they're not even thinking about that. And I don't think that they are. What I am wondering, though, is this Jordan's love? Is this Jordan Kent's job? Sorry, I said Jordan Love. I'm reading a tweet. Is this Jordan Kent's job to lose, kind of? And you alluded to it. They're going to give him the 8 games mm-hmm. leading into the end of the season in Orlando.
Maybe longer than that, too, if they make the playoffs. You get the rights to call the first-round playoff games as a local broadcaster, right. So he might get a longer run than that, too.
Which, you know, if you hit it off for eight games plus a first-round matchup, even if that's only four, 12 games, good sample size. I mean, former coworker, he got to fill in for Wheels, Demers, and...
Yeah, and then he ended up getting the job.
He took the job, and he got it.
The one thing I will say about it, and I don't know Jordan Kent, I know he does a lot of TV studio stuff, and he does a lot of hosting.
Yeah.
Play-by-play is just a different... I never heard him do play-by-play. So I think that's the one unique part. As somebody who's been in broadcasting, and I've had the chance to do color commentary for games, for radio and TV, I've had a chance to do play-by-play, and then obviously hosting. Like, play-by-play, it's a bit of a different animal, especially a sport like basketball. It's very up-tempo and up-pace. It's one thing to kind of lay in the weeds as a color analyst and provide some commentary here and there. But it's just, I'll be curious to hear how he sounds. And I think the fans will... The fans will vote with their social media presence, right?
Yeah, but like they did that year one. How much optimism? Okay, let's do this.
Okay.
We went way over the clock all day yesterday. I want to try to keep this in for Joe. I think you're bringing up a good point, Dirt, of what a year one would be play-by-play-wise, the reaction. And then we'll also talk about the Blazers lineup potentially heading to Orlando. You can share your thoughts of who maybe is a name out there you'd be interested in hearing as the play-by-play voice alongside Lamar Hurd at 503-250-1080. We'll talk more Blazer stuff next, but first, Joe with a sports update.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you on this Wednesday afternoon. Quick question, just a yes or no. Did you forget that Caleb Swanigan was on our team?
No, I didn't forget that.
I did.
You did? Yeah, Biggie. He's back, baby.
We traded him
Anthony
and then
Tolliver.
Brought him right back.
Right? Didn't we trade Bazemore and Tolliver for Biggie and...
Pick? Second round? Oh, Ariza.
Ariza.
Right?
Yeah,
Ariza's in Seattle.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Let me look that up. I think he was in Sacramento.
He was.
God, the NBA's been gone so long, I forgot like half of the stuff.
And the other guy. Who's the other guy? Didn't we get Gabriel out of that deal?
Winyon Gabriel?
Yeah, but didn't we get Winyon Gabriel in that deal too?
Yeah, he was. That was who we got was Ariza, okay. Sacramento.
Okay.
All right, welcome back in. We'll hear from Damian Lillard coming up in a second. But the play-by-play voice, you asked an interesting question before the break. What was it?
Well, just essentially, I think fans will speak with their social media accounts if they approve of Jordan Kent. Now, somebody texted in that he does Pac-12 Network play-by-play, but that doesn't ring a bell for me for some reason.
I've never heard him call a football game on the Pac-12 Network. Now, admittedly, I don't have the network the last year and a half. Sure.
And I've only watched Duck games, so I don't think he's called any Duck games.
I largely only watch Beaver games if I'm watching the Pac-12 Network. So I'll take that listener's word for it that he's got some experience, which is a good thing.
Yeah. But yeah, it was essentially just, are you going to give him a fair crack over eight games, or is it going to be like, first game in, this guy sucks?
But is eight games good enough to tell if that's really the right guy? Because, I don't know, this is the thing, play-by-play, like I had some friends and super supportive for this, but they were like, Sprague, you should apply for that job. I think you'd be really good at it. And I said, no, I'm terrible at play-by-play. Yeah.
I love when my parents say that to me sometimes, too.
Well,
it'd be like a job opening.
Yeah.
Are you going to apply? I remember when the NHL team was announced in Seattle, my mom asked me if I was going to apply for that gig. And I said, the play-by-play gig? She was like, yeah, or the color job. I said, no, those usually go to former players. I don't think I'm going to get that one. And I've never done hockey play-by-play in my life. I don't think I'm going to get an NHL job. Sorry, Mom.
If I did NBA basketball play-by-play as like the lead, it would be such a different broadcast than almost anything because I don't have the experience.
What would your catchphrase be?
I'd have to really noodle on that. I don't think you shouldn't have one when somebody says, well, what's your catchphrase? You shouldn't just have it.
Cover me in maple syrup and spank me. Let's go.
That would be great. A big Damian Lillard 3. Spank me, baby! Dude, that would be a great call. We're on to something now.
Good Nails a 3. God. Cover me in syrup.
Good God.
Spank me, mommy!
Where's the Nurk one? The Yusuf Nurkic one? Damn it.
I always, I don't, when Swag's got no.
Trying to say the Ukrainian name.
Yeah, when I was saying his girlfriend's name.
Yeah, that could be whenever.
Berkit Skimfa.
Drop that when Nurkic hits a bucket. Nice little hook shot.
Yeah, no. I love the support because it's always nice to have that. But yes. Yeah, I was thinking, I don't even think I'd get an email response if I ever applied. They'd be like, who's this doofus?
Yeah, Chris McGowan unfollowed me on Twitter, so I don't think I'm getting that job anytime soon. I will say,
awkward if he acted like he didn't know
you. Who are you? We had you in studio, man. We shared a bonding moment in a commercial break.
We won't talk about what that bonding moment was.
But we bonded.
But that was a serious bonding moment.
And people are texting in Jason Swigart. He should throw his hat in the mix.
Well, get Swagalicious.
Yeah, throw your name in there, Swigart.
So this is not ideal. Get this. I text Swigart today at 9:15. I'm going golfing with him tomorrow, right after the show. And I text him and I said, better get that resume ready.
It off.
And that was his response. Huh? And I said,
come on, Swigart.
Kevin Calabro is
stepping down and
he's out. Yeah. Swag never responded, which leads me to believe he instantly put the phone down, and he's working right now and he's putting together it. Because I'm telling you, he loves the fan. He's as hard a working person behind the scenes as anybody here, probably more. He would absolutely leave us without even hesitating.
That's his dream job. Is to be a play-by-play voice of a major brand. That's his dream job. I mean, he's told us in the past that he wants to do it for a college, like a bigger college program.
He wants to be a Mike Parker.
Yeah, Jerry Allen. That's a great job when you can get it. Those are two long-term great broadcasters in the state of Oregon. But hell yeah, you take that job in a heartbeat.
Excuse me, he already is the voice of the Pilots. He is.
I think you're talking, like a brand, an actual brand, and then also doing other teams as well.
Wow.
Like not just. Come on. He does their basketball team. They don't have a football team. He doesn't do their baseball radio broadcast.
Just ethering the Pilots.
If their basketball team doesn't win games, is it real?
Hey, they improved last season, okay?
Did they? They won like 5 games.
Well, you should have seen the season before.
Did they win 4?
It was bad.
Oh, it was ugly, It was bad. So, yes, he should throw his hat in the ring.
Oh, man.
I'm going to be curious to hear
Dame
how.
Dame for 3. You're so naughty.
You're so naughty.
I'm so naughty.
Honestly, I would use phrases like that. And that's what I'm saying is I stand no chance because I would say stuff that people at home be like, what? Did he really just say that?
Did he say something really weird? I'm
oh, Dame, you're so naughty.
I'm picturing Crawford hammered at the Dodger game yelling, milk me, mommy.
Hit me, daddy.
What did you just yell? P1 Pat said you could use jazz hands if you're with me on a great play.
Jazz hands!
Get the whole arena to go with you. Everybody's jazz hands.
And how many people, if you ended up liking that style of play-by-play, how many people legitimately at home do jazz hands as
become our thing?
The unifying symbol is a play-by-play guy.
It's like spirit fingers. We're just doing jazz hands in our home watching. Everybody's at the Spirit of 77, jazz hands after Damian Lillard dunks.
Here's the other part of this, if you're being really honest. If you don't practice or do play-by-play on a regular basis.
It's really hard, man.
Well, no, yeah. Aside from just actually doing it, it's super hard. How often would you almost, if not actually use somebody else's catchphrase? I'll give you an example. One of my favorite things to do, I'll go play pickup hoops at a random local gym or at a park, and I'll hit a 3, and I will literally yell, bang!
He's running back at the other end of the floor.
How many times would you steal a catchphrase, right?
It'd be really hard to not do.
Wheels. You would use
boom shakalaka.
Yeah, you would use boom shakalaka just because it's programmed into my brain for basically my whole life.
Mm-hmm. Boom goes the dynamite.
You would want to do that because it's a natural. That's all you've heard. You've never really done it.
Yeah, yeah. I would for sure do that, and that's where I think it's important to hire a play-by-play guy that does a lot of play-by-play because then you won't have that problem. Because if you do it on a regular basis, I don't think you have that issue. If you do it like once in a blue moon, you're probably going to have that problem a little bit. It's going to be, look, the return is
It's going to be really different, dude, and we're all going to bitch and moan at some point.
Oh, we for sure all will. And it's already a weird restart. They're in a bubble. There's no fans. They're calling the game from Portland. Like, it's already weird to begin with, whether it's Calabro and Lamar Hurd. But it's a whole different animal now that you're going to have a new play-by-play guy to try and ingest and just see how it goes. But I do know that people are not scared of sharing their opinions on social media.
Oh, so they'll let you know if you suck.
If people are not approving of Jordan Kent, you will hear it on social media, and I imagine we'll be going out of network next year to hire a new play-by-play guy.
Well, you know, I wonder about that, how he would be, because he's, you know, perfectly fine studio host, right? Like, got the cadence, he's got the tone, he is ideally what they teach at broadcasting, you know, like institutions, mm-hmm. how to be a studio host.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can go from that to that same energy, that same cadence, and do that to play-by-play.
No, you got to liven it up a little
you
bit.
You got to be different. You know, you got to think about when you go up and when you're not too down, because you want to keep people around. If the Blazers losing by 35,
right,
a lot of people are going to turn the game off, but you have to be able to keep that 25 to 35% engaged and still watch, right? Yeah, that was why, I'll say this, I wasn't a big Mike Rice guy. He forgot half the players' names. All he did was bitch and moan about how the officials were out against Portland. But what I will give him credit for is there were a lot of games where they were getting killed, and I'd be like, man, I'm not interested. And he'd start ranting about hot dogs.
And you would listen because it was entertaining.
I would stick around, and he would get me to stick to the TV. So as much criticism as I give him, He had that great ability.
Yeah, you have to have the personality to go with it, I think, for certain situations in a broadcast, whether it's a big win or a big loss or ugly moments. And hell, there was a lot of ugly moments throughout the course of this season. You got to be able to fill that time.
I'm going to throw my hat in the ring.
Okay, you're going to apply?
Well, I would get all of Lamar's references. Like, Lamar would drop things like biting, and Kevin Calabro would be like, biting? You've got popcorn in your mouth? What's this lit that the kids are talking about? And Lamar would always do it really well and have fun and be like, God, Kevin, come on.
Well, and somebody texted in about Lamar Hurd that he always shines the turd a little bit when they're not playing well. And
he's a team employee. You have to remember that.
People, there's only a handful of broadcasters that have the longevity and the ability to say whatever they want about their team, because they have become so big and powerful that the fan bases love them, that they can bash the team when they're not playing well. Everybody else, you're going along and you're towing that company line and you're saying what you need to say to keep your job.
So outside of Swigard, because he's actually doing play-by-play, who are we picking at the Fan to be the guy? If you had to pick somebody at the Fan to be the guy.
Well, I'm going
to
go ahead.
Dusty, because he called high school for so long?
Yeah, I think Rop's immediately eliminated because of his history with the team.
Ooh, I think he fights Neil Olshey for the right to have that job.
They get in a fight?
I think they have shirtless Jello bath fight.
Oh, whoa.
Let's make it real weird. Let's get
you
old school style.
That?
Yeah.
A little Jello fight?
Maybe a 2K jelly fight?
Ew.
Rop and his
I did not need that visual.
His chest hair versus Neil Olshey, who probably waxes all his stuff off.
Totally waxes. He
fake tans and he waxes. Yeah. It's okay.
I needed a good pounding today.
Wait, that's a drop. I would go Dusty probably,
because he's got the experience.
He's got the experience. He's got the personality to fill a little bit of time.
But does he have the catchphrase?
I don't know what his. We'd have to text him and ask what his catchphrase would be.
Yay! I'm going to come at you like molasses.
Is that a drop? I've never heard that drop before.
I don't know any of our drops.
Yeah.
Swag's really a stickler with our drops. He doesn't let us like mess with them. And there's also no organization, so I can never find a drop when I need it.
Yeah.
It's always kind of out of whack.
Somebody wants a team of Bill Walton and Mike Rice. And you know what? Look, for one game, I would be totally on board with that because it would be hilarious. And then after the first game, I think we'd all be saying, shoot me in the face.
I think if we all dropped acid, we'd enjoy it on a regular basis.
I can handle like one game a month of Mike Rice and Bill Walton.
Could you?
I think, well, there's many games. How many NBA games? In a regular season, how many games do you play in a month?
What would that be?
Like 12?
82... Yeah.
12 games in a
12,
month?
13.
You give me one out of 12? I could handle that.
Okay. Okay, coming up next, we'll hear from Damian Lillard and get your thoughts. Also, a lineup that we might see that I'm kind of interested in. I'm not a big fan of it, but I do want to see it. And I'll tell you what that is next. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
Tell me something good.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Anthony says GM Bro for sure Blue Chews and uses the plow 2.0 on his bits.
Yeah, he's a plower.
Ew.
He's the kind of guy that stands. Never mind.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get this job. I got to stop.
You can't say that kind of stuff if you're going to apply for the gig. Would you big time me if you got that job?
Never.
You wouldn't big time me?
Never.
If I came up walking courtside as a media member pregame, you'd still say hello, take some time for the little folks?
You're my boy, Blue.
Literally and figuratively.
Dude, I would, I'd never big time you. I think about that often on my runs. I'm like, when I get big time, I'm just going to, am I going to ignore Dirt or?
Am I just going to not text him back anymore? Hey, Brandon, how you doing, man?
I did wonder about that with you. I'm like, one day Dirt is randomly going to go, hey, dude, I got headhunted and MLB Network's calling my name.
I got headhunted.
I'm moving to Jersey. I'm going to do a show in Manhattan, and I'll go, dude, I'm so happy for you. Good luck. And I'm going to hit you for an interview 2 months into the job, and you'll go, who's this?
Who's this? New phone. Who dis?
Ouch. Way to leave me behind. Will says, I effing love Jell-O, so maybe the Rop Olshay battle could commence.
Yeah, Darkin's is good to sponsor it.
Mm. Okay, let's get to some actual Blazer news here. First of all, a correction. I guess people on Twitter are not getting the proper reporting, so that's upsetting. But they were replacing Whiteside with Nurkic, so Nurkic could conceivably start. Yeah. However, Terry Stotts is now doing a call. They're doing the team thing.
Yeah, they're doing a little Zoom media call.
Stotts has not ruled out the idea of starting Nurk and Whiteside or playing them together. Are we in on those twin towers?
Not really. I guess it all depends on the matchup. If you're playing a team with slow big guys that can't move very well, then yeah, sure, I guess that it would work. But in like a first round series, could you imagine either of those guys on the floor at the same time trying to keep Anthony Davis in front of them? That would be a disaster. And we know that from Nurk 2 years ago, however long when they played New Orleans in the first round and they got swept, he couldn't do anything against Anthony Davis. Not many people can. It's all matchup determined. If they end up starting Nurkic, I think that's a huge positive that he has continued to progress and has a conditioning level that they feel comfortable with and clearly has taken this three-month run very seriously of progressing from where he was.
Seems like he's really working his ass off, which is great.
And if that's the case, dude, that's huge. I think I'm all for Nurkic to be in the starting lineup, but I think it reminds you as well that you're going to get a glimpse at least, hopefully, because they continue to say that Zach and Nurkic look great, they're playing great, they're looking great, of what next season could be. Now, does it mean you're going to make the playoffs this year? Does it mean you're going to, you know, win that play-in thing against Memphis? I don't know. New Orleans has a much easier schedule than you do, and it's not going to be easy. But at least just to get a taste of it, to see those guys on the floor, that's like the immediate positive that we can all take out of this NBA restart.
So here's two notes I want to point out. I'm collecting this as it goes. I'm sorry. I know it's not necessarily the best of radio shows to ever do it this way, but I'm trying to see quotes from Stotts in real time and pass them along. This one just came from our good friend Sean Hyken. Stotts, one, said that Nurkic, take this for what it's worth, is shooting 55% in an empty gym from three.
What could you shoot from three in an empty gym?
I mean, I've had days where I don't miss much, but it's an empty gym. It's not a game. Gym.
Right.
It's
so
a
that's
much different situation.
55% is nice, but it's an empty gym.
And then he just said this, there will not be minute restrictions on Collins or Nurk. That's huge.
Wow.
I'm shocked by that one.
Yeah, I mean, he had a quote saying they're going to approach this like an 8-game playoff. It's a play-in for them. They're going to take it seriously. It's not going to be let's ease our way into this. They're diving right in their first games against Memphis. Might be the most important game of the whole bunch because you're trying to make up ground against them as they're the 8 seed and you're behind them. That's great news. And again, it's kind of the weird part about this restart because I feel like I have this mental image of Nurkic and Collins coming back from an injury and this is their first game when in reality they've been cleared for a long time. That's the unique part about
been
this
cleared
restart.
Since, well,
right?
Nurk
he was
going to
return. He was going to return March, 14th? I think it was the next game after they got shut down was going to be his first game back against Houston on that Sunday. So that's the weird part, but clearly they've taken it seriously. I know we've seen interviews. Joe Freeman did one recently with Zach Collins about how he was progressing, and he felt 100%. He was confident, ready to go. If there's no minutes restrictions, man, that's huge news for Portland.
We knew they were both going to play. I mean, that was never in question.
Yes.
They made that abundantly clear for months now. So if you haven't known that, then you've just not been reading the headlines. But we didn't know there was going to be minute restrictions, how long they were going to be or not. Turns out there is no minute restrictions. And unlike Washington, Bradley Beal said today he's still not sure if he's going to go to Orlando. Yeah. Brooklyn is sending a kind of just a relief squad because so many guys are out. They're taking this seriously. And I think that's going to be a benefit for them. I don't have much faith they will make the playoffs, but I don't want to completely rule it out because every single one of them are going to Orlando with a mission, and that's to get in the dance, give themselves a chance to play the Lakers, and then kind of let the chips fall where they may. Damian Lillard did an interview with Stadium with Sham Sharania, and he talked. Let's first go and play the clip of Dame talking about his hesitation with the Orlando bubble.
I mean, I'm not really sure. I don't feel 100% comfortable, but, you know, it's a risk that I'm willing to take. Like I mentioned earlier, this is what we do. This is our job, and this is how we take care of our families. And also, like I mentioned earlier, it's my way of providing for communities and impacting my community. So to play the game I love, to resume the season, you know, I guess it's a risk that I'm willing to take.
And then Dame reiterates, look, he's got plenty of motivation to go back to the bubble when you talk about actually playing the game.
I mean, my motivation is to get in the playoffs. Like, for one, we want to play for a chance at the championship. I think everybody's coming back with some rust on them. Some teams don't have guys that choose not to play. Some guys, you know, I feel going to be disinterested, you know, wanted to go on about their summer. Some guys going to be out of shape. I mean, there's going to be a lot of factors that give a lot of teams a chance to actually come in here and win it. And I think that's part of my motivation, is knowing that it's a legit chance, even more so than before the season went away. We got our starting power forward and center back. You know, we're a healthier team. So, I mean, that's motivation, but I also don't want to, you know, my birthday is July 15th, so I'm going to be heading to Orlando a week before my birthday, and I'm going to be there, you know, first game is not till July 30th, August 1st in that area, and then we got 8 games, so, like, I'm not trying to go there and waste a month and a half and just go back home. Like, I could have been at home this whole time, you know what I'm saying? So, like, if I go there, I'm going to stay. You know, I'm going to try to extend my stay there. So that's also motivating.
Yeah, that's Joe Fish on the ones and twos behind Damian Lillard there. As he says, motivations, look, I don't want to just go there, play eight games, and go home. He wants to be there for the real deal. So if you're just tuning in, by the way, Caleb Swanigan sounds like his status is kind of up in flux. In fact, some people are saying it's doubtful he goes.
That's not too huge of a loss because you're getting two big guys back, so I don't really know how much he would play anyways.
Well, you're really just valuing his 6 fouls. I mean,
yeah,
disrespect. Biggie is what he is, and unless he catches on to the right team,
I mean, yeah,
it's kind of his career.
You can go bigger lineups of Collins at the 4 with Nurkic or Whiteside at the 5. You can go smaller lineups if you want with Collins at the 5 and Carmelo Anthony, who sounds like he's going to be there. According to Dame, at least, that was kind of reading the tea leaves. He's going to be there. You can play him at the 4 if you want. You got Wenyan Gabriel, if he's coming back, that can fill a void like that. You're not losing a lot in Swanigan. I don't know how many minutes he was going to play anyways.
Is July 15th a day in Portland? Because I would advocate if we give him a day, which we will, can we just make it his birthday?
Make it his birthday, a little Portland holiday?
Well, July 15th is Damian Lillard Day.
Well, day off, man. I love to hear him talk like that. They're taking it seriously. I can't blame NBA teams that aren't, that have, you know, kind of patchwork rosters and half guys coming, half guys staying behind. Like, I understand that it's a unique circumstance, but Dame is clearly taking this seriously, and I understand why there's some juice in that locker room. I might laugh at it from time to time. I don't think they have a chance to beat LA in the first round, but here you have a leader who is clearly always of this mindset that we have a chance to beat anybody in any given series, who is now looking at it saying, okay, we made the Western Conference Finals last year, and we're replacing two guys that, according to the head coach, are at 100% and don't have a minutes restriction. Your starting center is back, so now you can have Whiteside coming off the bench if you want. You got Zach Collins back in the starting lineup to help your defense potentially a little bit. Like, I get why they have that mindset in the locker room, and I can't wait to see what they can go do in a couple of weeks.
Stotts also, and then we'll go to here the second hour, Stotts also reiterated, Nurkic is in the best shape he has seen since he arrived in Portland.
Sounds like he went the weight loss route that Jokic did, which is good news.
So hopefully we can see a healthy Nurk and Collins out there. And I've said this before, I don't have too much stock in what they're going to be able to contribute given they've been gone for so long. But absolutely love to be proven wrong here, and I hope both of them can contribute on a high, high level and help at least maybe play for that that 8 seed against Memphis. All right, hour two is straight ahead here on Radio.com and 1080 The Fan. We'll kick off the second hour. One prominent player, a league MVP, came out and said, whoever wins the title is winning the hardest championship ever, and a head coach of one of the best teams in the league also feels that way. We'll tell you who they were. We'll talk about that. Do you buy that? Is this going to be the hardest championship of any NBA team in league history? Hour two, Dirt and Sprague. We're back with more on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.